You're listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, Episode 1 for January 2009. We discuss the Green Lantern title from Rebirth up to Secret Origins. Check it out online at glspotlight.blogspot.com. One for January 2009. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Reed. Welcome back to the Green Lantern Spotlight. Happy late New Year to everyone. I hope 2009. The Green Lantern Spotlight is a fan-based podcast dedicated to all things Lantern and related characters. And before we get started, I would like to introduce you to the wonderful group of people joining us today. We have Fuhan, the creator and webmaster of our cast. W. West, the man behind Walk. And Will Sanchez, who's the host and webmaster for the Avengers Assembled podcast. Hey guys, thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm Fuhan. I of course, like I said, manage the podcast, and that's pretty much all I do with my free time. I read comics, and then spend the rest of my day sleeping, eating, watching TV, doing homework, and going to school. And that's about
like
it.
My brother.
So, yeah, I guess that's about all.
Short to
the point. I don't know if these comments about girlfriends are. We spend our time reading comics all day.
How about you, Wes?
Not much different from me. Big Flash fan, in case you didn't know. But I guess I'm Power Rangers fan for the podcast.
All right, thanks. What about you, Will?
Besides
your wonderful ice cream.
Yeah, it's a good ice cream. I'm Will Sanchez. I am also a Green Lantern fan, although I've been trying to catch up lately. But it's good stuff going on right now. I'm also an Avengers fan. But, you know, since the Lantern cast, I will say that the books have been really good. And I'm also a Kyle Rayner fan, so I'll team up with you on that one, West.
Well, as for me, I've been a Green Lantern fan for a long time, ever since the days of, you know, the old reruns of Super Friends back in the early 80s, which tells you how old I am.
I watched those same reruns in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. That's how my brother did it. So, I mean, he's almost 18. So, I got back into comics in the early 90s. Kyle Rayner there fell in love with the character right away, and I've been pretty much stuck with Green Lantern ever since. So, I've been doing the blog now for about a little over a year now, and just wanted to start the podcast here and get a bunch of fans and that and start talking about why we love Green Lantern and a few other things. So that's all me.
It's great, the blog you got there, Ryan. I'm checking it out. It's very informative. So even because I want to catch up to my Green Lantern stuff. So my hat's off to you, Michael, sir, for that great blog.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't find your blog until I found your blog through the Green Lantern Core Forum. So I actually figured out all my Green Lantern through Wikipedia. Thank God for Wikipedia.
Yeah! Wiki, coming to you on ABC channels now.
I guess I'm surrounded by Kyle Rayner fans.
Yeah.
I like Kyle. I was always preferred Hal Jordan myself. But, I mean, you know, I don't mind Kyle. I'm not one of those people saying, Kyle Rayner sucks. No. I equally like all Green Lanterns. Well, you know, maybe not Norton, but.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked Guy Gardner, but, you know, I think of Guy Gardner as I think of Justice League International during the 80s, you know, J. M. DeMantis and, you know, Keith Giffen and all that. But, you know, it wasn't. I think it was when I got back into comics, I was like, oh, yeah, Guy Gardner, I remember him, Green Lantern, Warrior, okay, all right. Guy gets no love. We love him, though, all the same. I mean, come on, he's on Brave and the Bold on Cartoon Network, where he can go around.
Oh, no. I love guys. The stuff in the core has been probably one of the best that I've read so far, excluding on the international stuff. But he's been getting into quite a reinvention of sorts.
And I love the guys. Guy is a comedy character, really, but he's also the badass, awesome character at the same time.
Oh yeah,
he's kind of the hard ass.
Oh,
good, right.
Oh yeah, because I'm saying, a couple of, favorite Kyle, Guy Gardner moments is there was a moment in old Justice League International just before I got out of comics where he went was talking to Batman and he was making some reference about a battle and he just basically said, "I know, Bats, aren't I just a sweetie?" And then Keith Champagne drew him giving him the little cartoon eye blush and I just fell on the floor. I think I was 9 at the time. I was in the drugstore just laughing. I think these people looked at me like, "What's he laughing about?" It's 9-year-old kid just cracking up. And I think my mother was embarrassed or something.
Yeah, you can't really be Green Lantern without being badass. I mean, you have to have no fear. It's
true.
It's pretty much a prerequisite to be amazing.
Very true. Well, let's move into the news section here. As of course, we just had finally the release of Final Crisis number 6 by Grant Morrison, Doug Mankey, Cross Patchco, and all that. And quick summary is, Darkseid's in control, and the last remaining heroes are trying to come in and beat him, and they're pretty much fighting all of Darkseid's goons, including the mind control of Mary Marvel, which, thank God, comes to an end after 2 years of, I don't even know what the hell you want to call it. Who actually, flipped through countdown here?
It was an interesting experience, to say the least.
I sort of ignored countdown.
Good for you, Juhan. Good for you.
What is this? What is this countdown? I don't know. I don't know what this countdown is. And what is it? What is Trinity people are talking about?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, the idea between the dark Mary Marvel, if you could picture my air quotes on my fingers right now, was not a bad idea. I love Paul Dini's writing and everything, but it was just so horrible. And basically, we come on the crisis, and Adam pretty much says, "Oh, it's Zod, it's Zod." Sam, I'll cure it. It's that's pretty much what I thought of the whole story. Magic verdict, all go away, bad people.
Yeah, the handling of the character has been dismal at best. I mean, it's just they don't know what to do with her. So I'm not really surprised that Morrison just ignored all that and just went with what he went with in Final Crisis, which is leagues better than what they're doing and what they did with Countdown. So fine with that. Although I did find some things interesting, such as her connection with the Greek gods and stuff. But that's all a wash now, so it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Can we all agree that was the best part of Countdown?
I'm sorry, what about that lesson?
Was Kyle the best part of Countdown?
Oh, yeah, wow. I think Kyle and Donna Troy, I think the best things about Countdown.
But what about Jason Todd?
Well, that'll be our future podcast, everybody, in summer called What We Do With Jason Todd.
That's a big question.
Yeah, I definitely like Jason Todd during Countdown, but... that's a reservation for an entire podcast. Cover Jason Todd from beginning to end. I'm pulling the people from Musical Log Files on that one. But where the hell is he, by the way?
I have no idea.
He's battling for the cowl.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, come on, Azrael's coming back.
They don't really know what to do with Jason Todd, so they just throw him into crossovers.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, but there's no justice for Robin.
Yeah, the best thing they've done with Jason Todd is really basically the return of the Hood. Was that the Hood's name?
The Red Hood. The Hood is
Mark. Right. Yeah, I'm getting my things mixed. but that's the best thing they've done with him so far. And outside of that, thing that Jed Winnick did with him is really good. But outside of that, not really much else of note, really.
Yeah, and not to get off with subject. Jed Winnick, I think of him with Kyle Rayner when he came on after Ron Mars left. And I thought he did a wonderful job with that. And the Red Hood storyline was really good, but I don't know what to say with Titans because it just, I gave it 3 issues and I ran.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I read the first 2 issues or so of Titans. It wasn't bad.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Les.
I heard it got better. I'm not sure how what truth there is to this, but But I did hear it got better.
Yeah, Wes, what do you think about that?
I think that was the worst book with a Flash in it I've ever read.
It was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a good idea.
Yeah, I give you that.
But, you know, then again, the whole Dark Mary Marvel was a good idea. We saw where that went.
Exactly.
I think their problem is they don't know what writers to put on books. If they put the right writer on the book, if they put like maybe run that book, you know, on the Titans book.
Oh yeah.
That would have been pretty good.
I have to agree.
But they decided to put Judd Winnick on that book, and it just wasn't so good.
Yeah, it was 1 year later. His Outsiders is what it was.
Oh, that's what got him the job.
No, that's just what I was thinking of the storylines on Titans. Was basically him doing 1 year later, and
right. That's
when the book really just took a horrible turn. I don't even mention Andy. We'll save that for Wes. And I know Wes is knowing me with Iron Heights, with the Outsider annual. Well, let's move about the biggest thing about Final Crisis 6, which is, you know, Batman confronts Darkseid, shoots Darkseid with the Macrillan virus with Radion, and kind of stops Darkseid, but in the process, Darkseid kills Batman.
With the Omega Beam, which nobody saw coming, that Darkseid would kill Batman with Omega Beams? What? Who expected that? Except everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when R.I.P. was, to find out Batman's fate, you know, check out Final Crisis, on sale now.
I thought it was a cool moment. Actually, it was really well done. But, I mean, the way they just organized the whole R.I.P. with Final Crisis, a bit of a disaster, because they didn't schedule it the way I think it should have been done. You know, they should have had Final Crisis first and then the RIP stuff, but that's just me.
Well, that wouldn't have made much sense.
Well, yes, because Batman would die, and then it would be leading up to Batman's death.
Right.
So, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the way the ending was, like Superman coming out basically mad as hell, you know, attacking all the mind control, you know, Wonder Woman and villains, and basically the little tribute to, you know, Crisis on Infinity Earth as well as Infinite Crisis. You know, Superman has to hold up the dead body of somebody he's very close to. I mean, first time Supergirl, second time Superboy, now Batman. I mean, there's your homage, but, you know, it was a cool moment. It was just the way it was executed and the tying in with Batman RIP, not to mention Legion of Three Worlds, which we'll cover later. It's just not been a very well-organized event. And sometimes, I know Scott over on Avengers Assemble here told us, too, about a confusing mess. And I mean, really, I felt like it was more organized last issue with Darkseid. This issue's just been, we're going to do this. And it's like, what the hell? And the Green Lanterns are still falling into the sinkhole.
Maybe we shouldn't fall into this because West is very pro Final Crisis, correct?
So, okay.
This might not be a very good conversation to get into because then it'll become the Final Crisis podcast.
Right, exactly.
The Green Lantern podcast.
All right.
I actually like Final Crisis.
I just think this was just not the better of the issues. It had its good moments. I liked the ending. But, you know, the previous two issues were definitely, in my opinion, the best ones outside issue one. So that's where I'm going to leave Final Crisis until it's concluded here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify, I just would have liked to have seen Final Crisis stand as on its own without depending on stuff like Last Rites to, you know, explain what Batman was up to. And I would have liked R.I.P. stuff to, you know, stand alone. That's basically all Roland wanted to, you know, to happen. But what are you going to do?
Right. All right, moving on to the next cover of business here. We'll talk about the upcoming Agent Orange story arc. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I know West has. It's the artwork by Philip Tan, who's the current artist of Final Crisis Revelations, and his designs for the Orange Lanterns. And it's been revealed that pretty much Orange Lanterns, if I can learn how to talk today, is coming from the Vega system, which will reveal the pact the Guardians made with the criminals there and what was the story behind the orange lights. And what do you guys think of the designs?
On color, they I can't really tell what anything is happening. It's sort of confusing. There's, you know, because it looks like there's just a bunch of big jumbles of lines. But Agent Orange looks good.
Oh, yeah.
He does. I also like the latest one that came out with the claw.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Tarnak, the Death Web from Marvel Comics, just those claws. I mean, that's just something you don't want to encounter anywhere, in space or in the broad daylight. I mean, he's creepy, and I just can't wait to see him in action.
Yeah, these designs, Ryan, they look pretty interesting. I'm not a big fan of Philip Tan's old stuff, but his new stuff is actually much improved. And, I mean, the character designs are very freaky. They look very weird, and I guess that was the point of them. But they look pretty cool, actually. I really like them. I'm looking forward to seeing these guys in action and, you know, flinging around some arm stuff. You know? So.
Yeah, we don't even know what their powers are.
Right.
I think they just go around stealing things.
Yeah, what is their power? Avarice or something like that?
Avarice.
Yeah, Avarice is their emotion. But we don't actually know what they do. Like all the lanterns obviously don't make constructs because, you know, the reds just spit out blood.
Right, or just raw power.
So we don't know what they actually do, except go around stealing things and wear orange jumpsuits.
And they got multiple rings.
Right, well, yes, by stealing other rings.
That's a cool concept.
My precious.
My precious.
And that's kicking off in February, despite the little delays we have with Green Lantern. So I'm looking really forward. I love the designs. The latest one's the Fire Woman. Wow, she's really cool. The only thing I think is when I see that tail, I keep hearing Charmander in the background of Pokemon. Char, Green Lantern, Char. They said she might be an established character, but I was doing my little review, and I have no idea who she possibly could be at all. So I don't know.
Yeah, mate, I'm not sure who some of these guys are, but I'm looking forward to seeing, like, you know, who they make up of, you know, who are there any, like, Green Lanterns transferring over to, like, any other groups besides that other one that was the Green Lantern?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody else that's going to be transferring. There's no actual definite word on that, but there's definitely a possibility because it seems like something they'd do.
Right.
Okay.
Like Hal Jordan was offered the leadership of the Blue Lanterns.
Oh, really?
Right, and they've been alluding to, like, Graf Torren's whole, you know, power of hope and all that since the Sinestro Corps War annual that, you know, he could even possibly switch over, especially after they revealed that Ganthet and Sed were in charge of that Corps.
Yeah, you know what I find interesting about this the whole thing is that Batman was given, you know, both given both rings at sorts. He was given the Yellow Ring for the Fear.
Well, he was offered the Yellow Ring, but the Green Ring is something that he was Hal Jordan gave to him to overcome his fear, and he's like, no, never mind. It's not like he was offered the Green Ring.
Right. I mean, it's fascinating that he was offered two types of rings, but he didn't take any of them, so that was pretty cool.
Right, and actually, in over the U.S., I mean, I know Ethan Van Sciver did a promo. Artwork of possibly Zoom having a Yellow Lantern ring, and, you know, Scarecrow just missed getting one before they destroyed it. What were your thoughts on that?
And those one of Joker, too.
Right.
Yeah, Joker, too. Awesomeness?
Creepy, man.
It was. I don't know if anybody saw the sketch of the Scarecrow, but, I mean, dude, I wanted that on my wall.
I actually didn't see the Scarecrow one. I saw the other two. But, I love Ethan Van Sciver's art. It's amazing.
I did, too. It's kind of a crime that he isn't able to put out as much material as he can. But he does really good, you know, concept work. And when he does do a book, it looks pretty gorgeous, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
His work is amazingly detailed. I mean, you look at all those lines in there. It's, you know, it leaves me speechless, really.
Yeah, and actually, I was going to move on to that next, but, you know, the Flash Rebirth, which is in April and everything, I mean, Ethan's doing the artwork for that, which, you know, the covers are great, and, you know, Wes, what do you think on that?
I think that's definitely the best Flash cover in the last 2 years. I'm so excited for Ethan's work and hopefully Josh's talent.
Once again, speechless. When I heard about Geoff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver on Flash Rebirth, I'm like, huh?
It makes a lot of sense because, you know, they keep going, especially Johns, he keeps going back to the Flash franchise because they keep, you know, not messing it up, but they don't quite get, you know, the actual character, you know, and, you know, he has to restart the whole thing again. So hopefully they'll leave it in good hands. But, yeah, that cover looks great. I like the way Van Sciver kind of differentiates Barry Allen with the Wally West flashes, boots, and all that stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I actually heard about it listening to Word Balloon with John Suntress. Right.
Yeah.
And I listened to the other ones and I heard I heard about it. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But it sort of gets him out of Blackest Night, which is not so amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I did listen to what was I saying? Darn it, I can't remember anymore. Oh yes, I heard him on a different episode of Word Balloon where he said that his favorite hero was actually the Flash, not Green Lantern. And so seeing him on Flash Rebirth would be, you know, awesome.
Oh, okay.
Because if he does that amazingly on a character that he doesn't love, imagine how well he would do on a character that he does love.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I
would have to ask West here. What do you think about the whole Wally thing? Do you think they'll push him aside in favor for Barry in the future?
Yes, definitely. I think Jazz is alluding to that. Since the announcement of this mini, Wally's last issue on The Flash, he retired, quote unquote. But it's not looking good for Wally.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't get the Kyle Rayner treatment. You know, it's kind of been marginalized a little bit.
Yeah.
Except GLC is a lot better than Titans.
There's a Green Lantern Corps book which you know Kyle can take the forefront in. There's no real other book that you can give to Wally West, unless they give him a new name and give him his own title, which you know is doubtful.
Yeah, at this moment in time too, I think he's gonna kind of take the role in the new Flash ongoing once Rebirth wraps up. I'm not sure. I know. I mean, he's definitely past the Kid Flash, and I mean, we got the rumor of you know Bart Allen returning or what. And there's apparently going to be more focus on Wally's two kids here when Flash gets going, the whole tight-knit family. But, you know, Wally having his own book, and whoever ends up taking over Titans after Judd Winnick leaves here in a month or so, I mean, really, I think Barry's going to be the forefront for the time being.
Actually, on the topic of Wally's family, Wes, how do you feel about Wally's kids? Because everything I hear, everybody hates them. I haven't read the Flash book for a while, but what are your thoughts on Wally's kids?
Personally,
I don't mind
them. Oh, go ahead, West.
They're terrible. And they're just older than they should. They remind you so much of the Incredibles that you can't enjoy it for uniqueness. And they take away from Wally, which is what the story should be about.
Everybody's hoping they'll be, like, killed off in Flash Rebirth, but that wouldn't be possible because that would involve them killing kids and...
right.
That's not something people like.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened with Bart. I mean, yeah.
Do we really
want to go there again?
Bart was aged 4 years
yeah.
and then killed. And, like, well, Wally's
yeah.
aged a few years too, weren't they? Because they were like infants when they went in, and then, like, they came out and they were, like, 8 years old.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't mind. I like to play Everett.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem, and I said, well, let me see what they do with this since they went ahead and aged them. I thought maybe they were kind of going a little bit what they did with Impulse when he first showed up. But honestly, I would have rather had Wally going home and, you know, practicing between, you know, his home life with Linda and the kid being a father than going out being a superhero than, oh, let's tag with the kids along here because they've been aged, you know, 1 8 years, 1 10 years, you know, 20 or 10, and then, you know, when the series wraps up, let's do the whole age storyline. You'll have, you know, Iris go to a teenager, be the new Kid Flash, become an old woman, you know, put her back to being a kid, do the same with Jay. And, you know, I don't want them to kill him off, but honestly, I'd be fine if they took away their powers and just left them as, you know, that's Wally's home life. They know that their dad's, you know, current Flash or stop being the Flash, you know, they just want to hear his stories more. Let's go on an adventure, Dad. It isn't the Incredibles.
It wouldn't have been that hard to have babies. they could have just had them have babies, and you know it would have been much 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 better stories. But nope, they had to have a super buff kid, and I don't know what the other one's power is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll save that for you know Flash Rebirth, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I'm just kidding. Moving on past Rebirth, I just want to talk about, of course, the storyline none of us want to hear, but the price increase of comics to $3.99 a pop. Who's going to broke first?
Yeah, see, that's going to make my more against me buying comics. That's not a good thing. I like comics. I like to pay for them. I don't want to have to maybe possibly pirate the ones that I don't like as much, but still want to read. You know, there's a big thing of pirating comics, and it's possible. And with $4.99 would just be insane. But with
$3.99 comics.
You know, that doesn't seem unlikely, actually. It seems like a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, don't curse it, man.
Yeah, I know. What do you think about Wes?
I think it pretty much hurts the people with the short pull list. People like me getting 6-7 books a week, it's not going to affect them that dramatically. We can drop a book. But the people who pick up 3 issues a month, they're going to be pissed.
Well, that's people getting, like, there's people getting more books than you, even, for, like, 13, 14 books a week. Like, I listen to some podcasting, and they pull, like, you know, at least, like, 10 books a week. Imagine how much that would do. That's like $40 a week. Take that into a month.
Oh, yeah.
That's $160 a month into comics. That's insane.
I remember even when I got back to comics back when they were $1.99, you know, even though you got a lot, I think at the most my monthly budget was maybe $30. You know, I got titles ending, and I've dropped some titles, and I'm picking up 2 new ones. But, you know, I'm putting out, I think, about $35 now a month. But that's just because of budget plans, my current job, and my ex leaving me broke, you know. What about you, Will?
Now, is DC going to follow through with the price changes? I mean, I know they usually take a cue from Marvel when they change their prices, but has it been announced as well?
I don't know at this time, because... I don't know. Do you remember what the Flash Rebirth price was going to be there, Wes? I couldn't remember if it was $2.99 or $3.99 with the solicitations.
It's a $3.99.
Okay.
Oh, I see. So but maybe it's Rebirth just a miniseries thing.
Yeah, because I know Flash Rebirth is at least 6 issues, so that would take it from April to October before it relaches.
Oh, I see.
Because Adventure Comics, I know, is...
Oh, go ahead. Well, I'm just gonna, you know, the price changes, they definitely affect my pull list. I've been dropping a few titles, especially... Booster Gold and you know, which been a great book, but once John's left, I've kind of dropped that one, and also with Blue Beetle, which is getting canceled. So I guess, you know,
It'll
kind of get even at the end, but still, I don't really like those that's the type of thing, because comics are $4 a pop. That's like, you know, almost buy a magazine, you know, it's car money for your gas, so that's still too much pay. So I'm going to definitely have to reevaluate my goal list, and it's not something I really like, but...
I was about to say $4 a gallon of gas, but I'm like, wait, no, gas just went down a lot.
Yeah, let's go out. We're never going to time.
$4 to get you like maybe a gallon and a half now, maybe 2.
Yeah, I think the best joke ever used on that was on the Futurama movies where they had Al Gore as a taxi driver saying, $100 tip, that'll get me a gallon of gas.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, Top Cow as a company is keeping their prices down until $2.99, and you know, the upcoming Adventure Comics relaunch, first is going to be $1.99. They're going to stick with $2.99 for the current, but they didn't say what's going to happen afterwards. But you know, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Batman books? But you know, the Flash is going to be definitely probably $3.99 when the Rebirth ends, and we already got the Marvel already following suit with $3.99 here, $2.99 here, with the possibility of $3.99 after this. Like, Spider-Man might be end up being $3.99 after issue 600 comes out at the end of the summer. So, I mean, it's unavoidable, but at the same time, it's just, you know, it's getting to the point where you want to say, you know, should I be reading comics? But it's because they're costing me more than it does to a month than it does to go see a movie every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
it's insane.
Yeah, I'm tempted to almost boycott those books that are going to $3.99 and just keep getting the $2.99 ones. But you know, for the sake of the cast, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, definitely.
The problem is even if you do that, enough people won't do it so that it won't make a difference, and you'll end up having to get $3.99 books anyways.
Right. I mean. You know, like the events here with Final Crisis and, you know, Blackest Night, which, you know, quick talk there, I mean, those are going to be $3.99. I understand that. That's an event comic, you know. Secret Invasion, $3.99. Understandable, you know. Rain in Hell, $3.99. I get it. It's a special book, but, you know, if it's going to be $3.99, we're going to probably have event special events that are $4.99. And then it's going to be like, do I really need to get that, or should I just go get the trade and spend $20 or go on eBay for $10 and save myself, you know, $10?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
it's just starting to get ridiculous. There's a bit of the whole economy thing, like maybe a bit of inflation, but I don't know, maybe a 50 cents increase, maybe a quarter. I think it's gotten to the point where the Canadian comics are actually, I think the Canadian, like the U.S. and Canada price isn't different anymore. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's kind of, because it used to be a dollar difference, didn't it? Now there's like absolutely no difference.
There is no difference.
You know, that's kind of scary.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I remember when you could get cheaper drugs in Canada, and now if you go to Canada, it's actually expensive prescription drugs. So it's, wow, what happened? Oh, well, so, yeah, it's just, it's about, I have no more to say on the subject. I'm just watching my budget the next couple months to see where it takes me.
Me too. I mean, maybe they'll add more content, but maybe a letters page, I don't mind that, but, you know, we'll definitely see what happens. Hopefully it won't be bad.
Right. All right, well, we've kind of covered pretty much the news and everything, I think, and Black is Nice a little bit. Let's move on to, you know, Green Lantern and basically the last, what is it now? So it'll be 5-7, the last 4 years in review here, coming from Rebirth to the current Rage of the Red Lanterns.
Oh, we're not talking about toys?
Oh, the toys, yeah. Actually, we'll do that real quick, but I don't know if anybody saw it, but they are going to release the Blackest Night toys here coming up. And right now we have Paducah Alpha Lantern, St. Walker Blue Lantern, Atrocious Red Lantern, and though it is hidden, Black Lantern Superman Earth 2.
Yeah, that's...
And,
that was unexpected. Nobody even thought about that, I don't think.
Like, no, and, you know, it was the most obvious choice, and...
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it like came out of nowhere.
It was like, it comes out of nowhere. It's like, oh, wait a second, he died too. That was pretty important. And Geoff Johns killed him.
I'm sorry, what was it, Wes?
So everybody was looking for Blue Lantern and Superman, and here goes Black Lantern sneaking up on them.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, that's right, Superman died too.
Right, and then there's talk about, you know, recently what just happened in Reign of Hell with Neron being killed and kind of voiding the Red Devil contract with his soul, but then it was kind of, you know, previous interviews where Geoff Johns was talking about, oh, you know, all these dead characters are going to be a Black Lantern, and then there's a talk, it never said they all had to be living human members, so now, you know, that just throws on that idea with, oh, dear God, you know, anybody who really has been killed, demon or human or alien, has now got a possible with a Black Ring, and now here we are with Earth 2 Superman. Who can move planets.
Alternate dimensions now. We're starting to, you know.
Right, so, you know, here comes Deron with, like, you think I was gone?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it really snuck up on us. I mean, go ahead, Will.
I'm sorry. Are they saying it's going to be DC Direct? Or they're going to be those possible ones that are...
DC Direct.
DC Direct.
DC Direct, yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, so it'll at least look pretty good, at least, you know. Might not be as posable, but it looked like it'll have some really nice molding.
DC Direct's pretty posable now.
Yeah, they're getting a lot better. I have the one Sinestro Green Lantern, and I had a friend who actually had it out of the package, and it moved pretty well.
Yeah, like you can do the elbows and knees and shoulders and waist, I think. And I think the something else, the head.
Oh, yes, the head moves.
That's cool.
Of course, the way the shadowed Superman Earth 2 Black Lantern's looking is, looks like he stuck his finger in an electrical socket and he's got dead, crazy zombie hair.
I think he got some styling tips from Superboy.
Right there. Oh, man, that was beautiful. Oh, man. But, yeah, those are coming out in March, I believe, is the release date for those. So, again, look for those at your local comic or Walmart or whoever carries DC Direct. So, I mean, I've definitely got my hands on that St. Walker and definitely that Earth 2 Black Lantern Superman. So.
See, the problem is that they're not showing the tail on St. Walker, so I don't know if they had that tail on the back of his head or not.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because it looks like it's either his head's covering his tail or they just forgot to put it. Or it might
be too early.
Yeah, because I think when Ivan Rice came back after Doug Mankey got pulled off Rage of the Red Lanterns to finish up Final Crisis, I think they were going from Ethan's original design he did for War of Light in Green Lantern 25, and all of a sudden it was, oh, no, wait, that was just the side of him. He's got a fishtail, and nobody saw the fishtail.
It was kind of weird. I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah, like, what planet is he from in Sector 1? I mean, what? He's got like a little mini nightcap. I'm waiting for him to start quoting it, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So, yeah, it was weird.
I know that in at the end. Well, not very normal.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to those toys. So, anyhow, moving on to Green Lantern, I would say the last 4 years. I was going to start with Green Lantern Rebirth, which, brought Hal Jordan back to the DC Universe despite a little delays and tons of hype. Storyline was really good. I should say great. I mean, Geoff Johns kind of came in, kept what had been brought in. I mean, because the sad truth is, I mean, when Ron Mars, I'm not going to quote DC Direct because I wasn't there back in the early 90s, was kind of, make Hal Jordan a bad guy. Here came, let's turn him into Parallax. And, here Geoff came in, kept the established and pretty much revealed that, Parallax was a sphere entity that, pretty much was the yellow impurity, and had Sinestro, when he was trapped into the power battery, basically talk to Parallax, take control of Hal Jordan, turn him into the villain, and then, fake Sinestro's death, and, destroy the Green Lantern Corps in the process. And, it really worked really well for a story. It didn't feel contrived. It didn't really rewrite history. I mean, Will, you're a Booster Gold fan. I know they touched upon it in issue zero on it, but, I thought it was a great storyline.
Yeah, the zero issue. That was pretty interesting. The way you spell that stuff.
What do you think on that, Wes? Yeah, Zero Hour.
Oh, okay.
Zero Hour?
Yeah, because pretty much, him remaking the universe would extant, so. But, it kind of like, Geoff wrote that.
He's like, I want to spread fear, and it's like, oh, who is this Geoff Johns, right? Right, like, even more of that retcon there, making sure everybody knows this is what happened. It's a fear guy.
It was Parallax.
Wasn't me. But yeah, it was an intelligent rewrite, because like really, I think what it was he was told bring back Hal Jordan and he needs to be a good guy, and he's like, okay, what do I do now? And I read that in trade, and I think Brad Meltzer wrote the intro to it, and he's like he could have made him a clone, or he could have said, oh yes, I went crazy or something, but no, we got the Geoff Johns way. He could have killed off Kyle Rayner, but nope, we got a handshake and an introduction.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what do you think there, Wes?
Pretty much the same. I thought it was great. I wasn't too much into Green Lantern before this, so this really did it for me.
Oh, so you want to know how I get into the Rebirth, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wasn't into Green Lantern as well as much. I was first introduced to Hal the Superman, the Death of Superman stuff. Actually, no, the Return. I'm sorry, it was the Return of Superman where we see, he's shielding everybody in the bubble in the midst of like a gas explosion or something. Or actually, no, it was Kryptonite or something. So that's the way I was introduced to Green Lantern and Hal. But when I read Rebirth, I really liked it. I wasn't as familiar with all the characters, like, Guy and the whole warrior thing, the whole little phase, but it was still pretty accessible. I wasn't a big fan of the yellow fear monster thing. It seemed kind of like it was like a fanfic style stuff. Like, I wasn't too fond of that, but still, it was really good. It really invigorated the Green Lantern franchise, and it really launched the first issue quite well. I give Geoff and Ethan big props for that, especially for setting up all the stuff that's going into play right now, the Blackest Night, the Sinestro Cold War. So I thought that was really well done on their part.
All right. Well, the next storyline arc right after that was, the trade calls it the No Fear, which pretty much set up Hal Jordan's supporting cast and reset him up in Coast City and brought back the Manhunters. I really liked it because, Geoff kind of brought back in some of the very old Hal Jordan cast, like General Stone, back then he was a captain back in his early days. He brought back his younger brother, which I really liked because I barely remembered the character, introduced, Jillian Perlman, better known as Cowgirl, as Hal's future love interest, and then, brought in the whole fact that, you know, they're kind of got the experiments going on. Stone's got going on, kind of a little bit like a little Stargate SG-1 there. And then, you know, the Manhunters came back, and they're upgraded with Green Lantern power batteries. They're bleeding, and they've got the mysterious Grandmaster, who's got the, as it was revealed at the end of the story arc, Green Lanterns we thought were killed during Emerald Twilight. And I like the story. And it, Carlos Pacheco, who did the artwork, was really nice and crisp. But, I mean, I kind of give it as a B-plus storyline because it was more of a setup with the cast and getting Hal reset up just after Rebirth. But I think one of my favorite lines in the story was when Hal's in the final issue, when Hal is racing in his falling apart F-22 and basically says, my plane's choking up. I'm probably on a tailspin down. But believe it or not, I still got a plan. So
yeah, that was nice.
Yes. Yeah. What did you think of the storyline there, West?
I thought the storyline was a lot better than the art. It didn't really do anything art-wise, but the storyline was pretty good. It was a nice little story to follow up Rebirth with. Yeah. I love it. I like his character. Jeff did a pretty good job with Hal Sam.
And how about you, Will?
Oh, well, I bought the first couple issues, like, in bulk, and I didn't read it until a much later time, but when I first started reading it, I really liked it. It was pretty cool. I wasn't really sure who, you know, all the cast members were, but I kind of got the impression that they were brought back, like you said, Lieutenant Stone and Carol Ferris and all those old cast members. I thought it was really cool. I liked the way they brought back the Manhunters and how they're slowly rebuilding a Coast City, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, Coast City. and yeah, it was a cool arc. I like Carlos's art. It's really nice. Especially with that Alex Ross cover that was made in the first issue, I think it was. And I think there was at least a secret file, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had a lot of information of all the villains and stuff. So that was pretty good because that got me up to speed. And it also, you know, set up future stuff as well. And I would definitely recommend it to Green Lantern fans as an introductory type of book after reading Rebirth, of course. But I really liked it. It was a very good introduction to Green Lantern, and I'll definitely recommend it.
And how about you, Guhan?
Yeah, I like the story too. It was good. Like you said, it was basically set up to the rest of the book. But I like how he set it up and the art. It was a lot better than the art on, like, well, like, night, but, night, I was like 1920, I think. But, like, I didn't mind the art, and, you know, it was a good setup story, and I had, once again, through Wikipedia, learned about all these characters, so I really knew who most of them were.
Right.
And I'd been reading, I read it in trade, and I read the showcase, the Green Lantern showcase before I did this. So I read a couple of the old 60s stories. So that was a little helpful, too.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing was the whole story. I mean, these were characters, though. We got the background enough of them and the new character, too. You know, pretty really like the setup issue. I mean, we really set our past, you know, Hell, Coast City, and, you know, the upcoming stuff later on with Revenge of the Green Lanterns, which happened about, I believe, it was 5 issues later, after 1 year later. So it was a good arc. So I'm going to give a good B-plus to that storyline. But, yeah, I kind of agree with Wes. It wasn't one of Carlos's best works. I mean, I like Manhunters, but it wasn't his work. Next storyline, as we call it, is Gremlins storyline, where, you know, Hal Jordan's villains are returning. You know, William Hamm, you know, better known as Black Hand, is coming back to Coast City, gets abducted by mysterious aliens. And then, of course, Hecu, you know, was up in Green Lantern Rebirth, warns Hal that the aliens that helped his abilities, or should they enhanced his already known abilities, had returned, and their experiment was not. And, of course, it got revealed that the Shark, you know, very old, very, very old Green Lantern villain was back, and Ethan Van Sciver, you know, did the first two parts, and I have to say, it was freaky. The Shark was like Jaws, modern-day sci-fi feel, and the whole setup with Black Hand, with him get his new powers, and basically, as we probably later set up for Black Hand's Night, was just pretty freaky, and Hector Hammond, he turned into Hannibal Lecter, and it was a good story. It was just, one thing I didn't like about it was the delays, the switch of art, you know, I mean, I know there were a lot of problems with it, they were in the middle of Infinite starting that whole. But I thought the story arc worked really well and, you know, really modernized Black Hand and Shark, you know, even gave us a very creepy Hector Hammond instead of just the guy with a big head, which, you know, it got so silly. I mean, Grant Morrison kind of bashed that after a while. But it's a good story arc, and I'm gonna give it an A minus. What about you? Guha? What do you think?
I actually did not understand the arc, like at all. Like I went through, I read it, and then I read it again, and then a couple months later I read it again, and I didn't really understand what was going on. I don't know, it might have been the art that was sort of confusing, but I got the gist of it, and it was definitely a creepy storyline, and the shark like scared me, and Hector Hammond is always creepy when written by Johns apparently.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it was definitely a creepy arc, but like I said, it was really confusing. I think it was a little philosophical and deep or something. I don't know. Like it was a little over. I think it went over my head.
What about you, Wes?
I didn't read it.
Henceforth, his review will be a zero. Anyhow. what about you, Will?
Okay. Well, this arc was this split in art duties between Ethan Van Sciver and Simone Bianchi, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was from Bianchi. Yeah.
Okay, so it was all Bianchi.
Yeah, he kind of finished up the storyline so Ethan could do issue eight, which is called Batman One Shot. So yeah, it was split. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I see.
Batman was nine.
Okay.
Nine.
Okay, because yeah. Nine. Okay, so because I remember there being a shark story by both Ethan and Simone, so I guess that was the split arc then.
It was all tied in by the end.
Oh, okay, cool. I like the story. It was really cool. The shark had a really cool, you know, Jaws feel to him, and had a lot of you know gory scenes. You know, with that guy who gets eaten up, he's like his head or something.
And his eye fell out.
yeah, that was pretty cool. And yeah, it was cool. And I didn't really expect all that type of gore in that type of title. John's kind of, you know, known for his gore sometimes, maybe overly so. But but it was a cool scene. The art by Simone Bianchi was very nice. Although some of the storytelling could use, you know, was a bit off. I guess because he was still, you know, breaking into the industry, although he had done stuff previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed that. The Hector Hammond stuff is pretty weird. But it was an interesting take on him because he had like a sort of a fixation on Hal, and it kind of continued, and that aspect kind of rolled into the whole thing that we're seeing in the origin stuff.
Oh yeah, Secret Origin.
Yeah, the Secret Origin stuff, and they're developing him also with that whole avarice angle, which is interesting. And also the Black Hand was very cool. I think this was among the first things that were being, you know, continually developed throughout the book, sort of like with the Black Lantern stuff, and you see
Jeff Johns like foreshadowing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That was among the plots that I remember reading that were, you know, really well handled and continued all throughout. And it was interesting to see the Black Hand come back after his sort of demise in the rebirth stuff. So that was pretty cool. Overall, I pretty much enjoyed this arc a lot as well. Probably more so than in the initial arc. I'll give this probably an 8 out of 10, about to give the score.
Yeah, Jeff Johns must really love Green Lantern. If he's been writing the book for, like, what, 36 issues now? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and he's been, like, foreshadowing from, what is it, like, issue 7? Stuff that pays off in, like, issue 25?
Oh, yeah. And coming up here in Black, it's night July. I mean, he was doing it way back in Rebirth now, and it's all starting to take hold.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and speaking of foreshadowing, the next issue, which, you know, Kuhan, correct me, was issue 9, which was the Batman one-shot, which introduced the new Tattoo Man, which, of course, you know, he's been taking big root here in Final Crisis here. But, I mean, this was kind of the setup for Hal Jordan and Batman after, you know, pretty much Hal Jordan sucker punched Batman after his rebirth.
It was awesome.
Exactly, especially Guy Gardner's reaction, which is
Guy Gardner's like, "Yeah, one punch, take that."
I've been waiting for Robot Chicken to make fun of that. Hal Jordan corrects all his problems by sucker punching.
There's sort of a history there, right? Batman punched Guy at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in like JLI, right?
Yeah, a long time.
That's cool.
But, yeah, basically they have to team up to break down the new Tattoo Man, which, you know, they succeed in the end. And pretty much at the end, Hal gives Batman his ring and tells him to, you know, focus it and to move past the death of his parents. In a great moment, you know, Batman actually lights up the full Green Lantern costume, which is freaking awesome, like with Skeever, by the way.
And Little Pointless.
And yes, true. And basically at that point, you know, he basically takes off the ring and says, no, he's not ready, but then he gives it back to Hal and basically tells him, you know, it's good to have you back, which, you know, in a way pretty much heals their friendship, which I really liked. I think that honestly was the best part of the story. I mean, I like the new Tattoo Man, but this is what the issue was all about, was just pretty much between Hal and Bruce Wayne pretty much healing their fractured friendship. What do you think of that, West?
I think Jeff should leave his hands off of Bruce, personally. I thought it was a nice little interaction. I got to read this one, so it was a decent story. It wasn't nothing impressive like Rebirth, though.
Right. What about you, Will?
Will?
Will? He's in the wind tunnel, I think.
I think we lost. I think he's getting like really into that ice cream there.
I'm here. Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Well, I thought for a second, you know, my cat had crossed over, you know, because he's like, come on.
No, actually, I was looking through my issues of Green Lantern, and because I was kind of vague on my memory of this issue, but I think, yeah, this is a cool issue. Did it have like he had a symbol on his chest that had like the Bat Lantern of sorts or something?
Yeah,
yeah. This is a cool issue. I enjoyed the way they, you know, they repaired their relationship. Okay, the Tattooed Man. That's what I remember seeing.
Right.
I almost forgot about him, that he was in this issue, that he debuted in this issue. But it was cool to see him in Final Crisis right now, so it's cool to see him used.
Right.
He had a cool appearance in this book. He had quite a lot of cool visuals that Ethan, you know, likes to do with the tattoos. It's very detailed. But I do enjoy seeing how Perry's relationship with Batman, because that was kind of something that needed to be fixed, you know, just to see these guys, you know, team up again. Especially for Brave and the Bold. I'm not sure what issue the Brave and the Bold that is.
It's issue one.
One, wow.
Yeah, it was the very first issue. Especially about Mark Wayne was like, fix the friendship so I can do this story.
Yeah, but yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed the issue. I'd probably give, you know, as far as the review goes, I'd probably give it like a 7.5 out of 10. You know, it's a big Batman Hal issue, and it's good to see the Tattooed Man, you know, debut again and just continue to be used later on in books such as Final Crisis right now. And he was also in that one shot, I think it's the Resist one, that Morrison wrote.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that was a cool issue with the Black Lightning and him. But yeah, it's a good issue. I definitely like it.
And what about you, Kuhat?
All right, well, I said it once, and I'll say it again. Ethan Van Sciver is amazing. Ethan Van Sciver plus Batman equals Happy Kuhan. Because really, Batman.
If you ever get him on, you should tell him that.
Batman was my my I think second favorite hero for a while, and I saw Ethan Van Sciver on Batman, and that was just awesome. But I'm gonna be the one that says it. Everybody else has been saying it. While Bat Lantern was awesome, he does not deserve his own action figure in the green line.
Yeah, I agree.
But onto the story, I liked the introduction of a new Tattooed Man. I didn't understand it, like the power. But the first time I read it, the second time I read it, I'm like, oh, that's what it is. But yeah, so I really like the story, and I like the little jokes between Hal and Batman, can you make this seed go any further back? I'm like, sorry, Robin, you sit there. I was like, I thought you were psychic.
Yeah, that was great.
That was good.
But yeah, it's I really like the story. Again, it was two of my favorite characters put together in a story, so it's kind of hard not to like the story. I think that's really all I can say. Did like the end part. Many signatures were made out of that. And, yes, I guess if I were to give it a rating, I'd have to give it 8.5 out of 10.
Well, sounds good. We pretty much enjoyed it. Like I said, except for the little action figure problem. So, and Countdown, which we won't go into Arena. So, I know Wes wants to not talk about that.
I actually meant Countdown Arena. I think that was the only issue I read of Countdown Arena with Green Lanterns.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't half bad.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the next one, which is, of course, 1 year later. You know, the big little thing going on after Infinite Crisis, where we have Revenge of the Green Lanterns and Hal Jordan kind of recovering after apparently being in a prison camp on a mission for several months, which got talked about in the next storyline we'll talk about shortly. But returns home, gets kind of a hero's welcome. Coast City, despite the aftermath of Infinite Crisis, is still a ghost town. And all of a sudden, Tomar 2, who thought he was dead, crash lands in the middle of the ceremony. They take him back to Oa and find out that several of the Green Lanterns are still alive on Bayat, which is the Manhunter homeworld, which is in Sector 601, which is outside the known universe. And the Guardians pretty much say, no, you're not going to do anything. And Hal grabs Guy Gardner. They go to Bayat, and they find out several of the Green Lanterns are alive, and the cyborg Superman is the Grandmaster of the Manhunters. And it gets revealed the Manhunters have been collecting Green Lanterns believed dead for years. I mean, years. And I mean, they're finding Green Lanterns that were probably like in quarterly issues for one issue that were like thought dead, and find out that they're pretty much out to destroy life in the known universe. And in the end, they destroy Bayat. Hal Jordan is reunited with several Green Lanterns who pretty much hate his guts. Arisa, his former love interest. And it's revealed that the Guardians mention 52 for the first time. And ends with, okay, who's going to go retrieve Cyborg Superman? And I have to say, yeah, and this was Ivan Reis's first issue as Green Lantern artist. And he just knocked it out of the park. I thought the artwork was just incredible. And I really like the whole new thing with Superman, but, you know, I kind of called Cyborg Superman being the Grandmaster long before there was an action figure or there was, you know, preview artwork for the storyline in general. But I really liked basically the setup of them, you know, bringing back all these Green Lanterns, which were believed dead, even though they killed General Creon, which pissed me off.
Creon was awesome.
I know. I mean,
they couldn't have killed someone a little more annoying, like, I don't know, Boudica.
Oh no, they had to make her an Alpha Lantern in 15 issues.
In 23 issues.
Yeah, and then they killed Ki-Han, you know, in Sinestro Corps War. But I like the storyline. I'm going to definitely give it an A- because I just really enjoyed it, and I thought Ivan Reis just knocked out the ballpark, especially with his depictions of work on Bayat and the Cyborg Superman, especially the times he was repairing himself. What did you think, West?
I wouldn't give it an A at all. I'd go B-. I thought the premise of the story was pretty good, definitely. I love seeing a bunch of random Green Lantern. But it didn't do anything for me. It just... I think I don't like the idea of any kind of Superman being in Green Lantern. I think that kind of hurts the series a little bit.
Well, Cyborg Superman was integral to the destruction of Coast City, so...
Yeah,
I'm granted, it takes away from the outer spaceness that I like to see. Any ties to Krypton or Clark Kent, it just irks me a little bit. So, I mean, it was a good story overall, but it just takes away from it. But the art was good. The art was definitely good.
Okay, what do you think there, Juan?
I like the story. You know, Cyborg Superman, it made sense to me, because it makes sense that he would be the leader of the Manhunter, seeing as he's a half robot. Well, actually, he's a robot with, like, a Superman skin. And, you know, it makes perfect sense that Cyborg Superman would be the leader of the Manhunters, and with his you know, but I love is again the jokes in this arc, like how they totally disregard everything the Guardian says, like, yeah, let's go, and
how, yeah, exactly,
and how Salak, however you pronounce that, says that, yeah, he must have gone to Earth seeking your help. And then Joe Marsh is like, I gotta kill Hal.
Yeah, that's all he says. Like, kill, yeah. Kill.
Hal Jordan. Like, and that's like, or maybe not. I thought it was a good arc overall. And, you know, it was a good way to bring back some of the veteran Lanterns who were thought dead. And, again, Geoff Johns is apparently really good at bringing people back to life, which makes sense to why they put him on Rebirth.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so if I were to give this a rating, I'd probably give it maybe an A-, so an 8.5 out of 10.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
What about you, Will?
Oh, well, this is a really long-running arc. There's a lot of stuff going on at once. John started to really, start doing the Yellow Lantern stuff.
Right.
Especially with, issue 10 shows the, first see Arkillo, and he's killing off some. Yeah, that was a pretty cool scene there. So it's pretty interesting. John's just setting up a lot of stuff on this little arc here, among the 1 year later stuff. And I like seeing, flashbacks to his old adventures. I wouldn't say adventures, but maybe his old memories with his old crew. So I thought that was pretty cool. You also see, guest appearances by Ali, from Green Arrow, as mayor, because they like to interconnect all that stuff. So I thought that was cool. Also, the art was amazing. Ivan Reese was really good. His stuff is probably among the best that I've seen in the Lantern book since, Carlos and Ethan. So it's really a nice, consistent team of artists. So he does a really good job here. And I give him props for the rest of the art. He's definitely one of the definitive Green Lantern artists. And I also like when they introduced the Red Star guys, the Russian dudes, what are their names?
Oh, yeah, Red Stars.
Rocket Reds. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. Rocket Reds. Those are pretty cool. Although they haven't really, in this arc, they didn't really introduce a new Rocket Red until the Checkmate series.
Right.
The successor. Yeah, I think one of them died in the Olmec project.
So, oh, yeah.
That was
No, I mean, I agree with Kohan about the Cyborg Superman stuff. I thought that was pretty cool and a logical extension of the something that they used back then in the Superman Return stuff. Was it Superman Returns or Wade?
Yeah, you're
thinking of the Death and Return of Superman.
There you go. That's it.
There you go. Because, I remember him doing lots of damage there along with Mongol. So I thought that was a pretty cool. I don't know if it's a homage is the right word. Probably a nice nod to that. And it's cool that they're using the cosmic setting because he's quite a powerful character. He's done stuff, he's taken control of the Source Wall, which is a pretty big feat. And I think he really works I think he was on the Anti-Matter Universe, was it?
Quark.
Quark. Yeah. And I thought that was a really cool use for him, especially at making him the leader of the Manhunters. So I really like that aspect. And it's cool because this whole arc, builds towards the Yellow Lantern stuff, which was quite good. I it's probably one of the better crossovers of this era. So I really liked it. I don't know if I mentioned the Global Guardians yet. They also
Did we forget the 2-issue crossover with the Green Arrow?
Yeah, we did, but. Yeah, we did. We actually forgot about that, but and that tells you how memorable it was. Hi, I'm Mongrel. I'm in Infinite Crisis. Issue 1. Now I'm back with Black Mercy on Earth. I'm using it to kill cows. Yellow. Here's Mongal. I'm going to kill her. Okay, bye. that was pretty much the story arc.
well, it's set up Mongol as a bigger Green Lantern villain, I guess.
Well, I can't deny that.
Yeah, we're just seeing now that the whole Mongol thing with the rings, that's was in a ring quest. I thought that was cool. Yeah, so, as overall, I really like the 1 year later stuff. It's kind of a good reintroduction into the Green Lantern books if you missed, the first couple issues or the first couple arcs, because it starts off pretty fresh, and it flashes back into his old past, and it also sets up stuff for the future, so. I give it a thumbs up. If I were to give it a number grade, which I'm usually, for some reason, not giving letter grades, but if you guys want me to, I will.
Whatever works with you, Will.
All right, cool. Let me switch up a little bit. Then I'll give it a plus. good stuff.
Jeff was going on during 52, and I think he was the only 52 writer that didn't like have major huge delays on his books, right? Everybody else is like running real good on their books, and Jeff Johns is here typing on like 6 keyboards. Like, oh wait, which one's this? It's like, oh wait, I just had Black Adam show up in Green Lantern. That's not right.
You know, and actually going back to the whole Mongol arc there, we kind of skipped. I mean, that's a great example too. I mean, he's doing Infinite Crisis. Like, oh wait, okay, I got to move really quick over here. Oh wait, I got to set up that little talk about Ollie here, so we'll set up 52 and him being for me. Okay, now we're back here. Okay, here, 1 year later, we're ready.
Jeff Johns just typing on like 8 people going. Oh wait a second!
And he's picking up this action figure of Mongol going. Yes, you will bow down before me.
All right, we're doing my writing right now.
Well, moving on to Revenge of the Green Lantern, go right into Wanted, Hal Jordan, Columbian Pictures. Anyhow, we finally get revealed what was happening to Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, pretty much just after 52, because if anybody was spelling 52 at the time, he was in the first couple months, and then he disappeared. It got revealed that Hal, along with his two pilots, you know, Rocket Man and Cowgirl, got shot over one of the territories around, I believe it was somewhere around Russia. I don't know. It was never really explained exactly where this country was in the DC Universe. But he kind of been violating contract treaties that, what was it? Come on, do you remember what Black Adam called the contract treaty in 52?
I don't know.
I think it was Freedoms of Power. Was that it, Wes? You know?
Not at all.
We won't go there. But, he ends up, he got shot over, was a prisoner of war, freed himself. And apparently ever since he freed himself, all these intergalactic bounty hunters were trying to chase down Green Lantern, not Hal Jordan. And Cowgirl goes back to the failed mission to try to finish up her mission. She gets shot down, which tells you how great of a pilot she is. And, gets captured by the same terrorists, and then
again. You know, do you think she would have learned a lesson once and one thing that would help her out? But no, she just started to go back.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
you know,
she didn't tell anybody. No, just goes back.
Right, and you know, everybody comes after Hal Jordan. You know, the Global Guardians, the Faceless Hunters, the Rocket Reds want to kick his ass for everything he did during 52. You know, Hunger Dog, you know, who turns out to actually be, you know, John Stewart in disguise after he disappeared from several issues. And it's all revealed that Arvdin Sor's, you know, son, who we thought was blown head off at the end of Kyle Rayner's story arc.
It was blown off.
Well, yeah. And, yeah, I don't even know. I'm not going there. we'll ask Ron Mars in March.
we'll get some Dragon Ball Z regeneration stuff here.
As seen by Cell.
Oh, top of my head off, but one brain cell remains.
Right. But, Eminem Sor is behind everything, captures Hal Jordan, Hunger Dog is revealed to be John Stewart, and by the end of the arc, the Yellow Ring, which found its way into Batman's hand, he rejected, takes Eminem Sor, and he goes on to be a Sinestro Corps member. That's really the story arc.
I don't really see how Eminem Sor instills great fear. He seems like a bit of a pussy to me. You know, he's like, you killed my dad, I want my read back! and oh yeah, I instill great fear, now I'll beat you. Oh, crap!
And then he had his little, like, you know, tattoo alien running around going, oh yes, I'm the sword, here, contract, Oh, the plane, the Green Lantern boss, oh, I've been incinerated, I'm dead. Yeah. The story arc, artwork was just gorgeous. I think Ivan Reis got even better after doing Revenge of the Green Lanterns. But I was just so sick of everybody wanted Green Lantern dead. I mean, it was ridiculous. The Rocket Reds were pissed. Justice League wants him down. The Global Guardians want him dead, which are then mind controlled by the Faceless Hunters. You had the Dominators in there for some reason. Of course, we found out they smell like tar, thanks to Hal telling us. I saw it as more of a way to just conclude what had happened to Hal during the missing year and show that, you know, Cowgirl, it's just a bad pilot, and, you know, Rocket Man's off the guard and, you know, setting up the Sinestro Corps War. So I kind of walked away from the story lock with a kind of I'll give it a B-. I love the Global Guardians, but I got so sick of everybody just wanted to turn on Green Lantern. I mean, and then after, you know, because just after this arc was over, 52 was over, and, you know, Black Adam, who caused this power tree, which is what the Red Rockets were talking about, basically caused World War III. So why the hell were they even interested in getting him for violating their borders? You know, Black Adam pretty much almost annihilated half the Europe and Asia, so it was like a moot point. So, yeah, I'm not going any here. Kuwan, I know you want to vocalize some more, so, you know, go right ahead.
It was just a bunch of setup and resolution. So that's really all they were doing. It wasn't the best story. It was, you know, again, set up and resolution, and Sir, set up resolution, bringing John Stewart back. And that's basically all it really was. What issue did this end with?
I have my notes. Will, do you have the issue on you?
Yeah, it looks like 17. And then
17, right. Right. And then there was the Star Sapphire arc, and then into the,
Sinestro.
So basically they're just setting up the Sinestro Corps War. It's like, well, you know, I don't have much story to write, but I want to go ahead and do the Sinestro Corps War in a little bit. So let's set that up and let's resolve what was going on before. And so it seems like that's basically what the point was. And, you know, again, he had a lot of story to write, because Jeff Johns is basically writing half of DC. So he decided, again, set up and resolution. I think I really like those words. Those are my words of the day. Set up and resolution.
So that'll be a t-shirt.
So I'll give the story like a 7.5, maybe like a C+, maybe a B-. Not the best story, but not the worst story. It was set up and resolution.
Right. Well, what about you? Because you were a big Global Guardians fan.
I'm not sure if I would be a big fan of them. that's quite generous. But they did make cool appearances. I like seeing the Mongoose lady. I forgot what her name is. But they were cool characters. I don't know if I think they appeared in Justice League Unlimited, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. The arc was nice. I don't know if is the whole arc like a whole bunch of issues or just like segmented.
Set up and resolution, as Kihan said.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I mean, the 1 year later thing is was pretty long, and they actually like stretched out a few things, but it was a decent arc. I liked it. It was definitely more set up for the Yellow Lantern stuff. What's interesting is that they changed the costume of the Yellow Lanterns. Initially, it's kind of like Sinestro's old one. It's like black.
I think what the speculation is going to be basically that's like a training uniform, and then the final uniform is their, you know, the final uniform after they've completed all their training and they're full fledged lanterns. Just like how the Green Lantern rookies just have a circle instead of their symbol.
Yeah,
right.
What about you? Yeah, what do you give the final grade on this, Will?
So this, I would give it a B-. It wasn't great, but it does have further setup for the National Cold War and decent, really cool character moments between Hal and John, as well as he has a cool moment here that has him etching something on Abin Sur's grave. It says, Abin Sur, Green Lantern, hero of Ungara, and father.
Oh, yeah.
He adds that.
That was a nice way to end it.
Oh, most definitely.
And what did you think, West?
Pretty much the same as you did. It was a tiresome story with everybody hunting them down and just... It didn't do anything for me. Besides the interaction with John and the Russians, it was pretty much blah. The art, of course, was good, great as I go there, but it wasn't enough to pull the story in, make it over the top. Besides the cameos, this is pretty much a C book at the best.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks like we're giving it pretty much overall C plus with Will and I's grades. Yeah, it's like a Kuan said, set up in resolution. Speed of Florence. And you know, cowgirl can't, you know, fly a raptor.
which makes me wonder why she was flying the Manhunter ship. That they had.
Oh, exactly. What was
she the one testing that? I'm sure there's better pilots.
I think Hal hit General Stone too hard in issue 5. Well, moving on from that, we're going to move into the first Who is Star Sapphire storyline, where basically, Star Sapphire comes and starts possessing and trying to hook Hal Jordan up for the Zamorons, and Hal kicks their ass, and they start forming their own core. So, it was...
Yeah.
I didn't like the story arc. It was, the best thing about it was hot women in Scantily Clad alien costumes and Carol Ferris's best line, "Hey, honey, don't cash checks your ass can't sell."
Oh, I thought that was bad.
I'm going to give it C minus. Wes, go right ahead.
I like this scantily clad woman. It made up for the last four issues. Besides that, I like the introduction though. It was a nice touch. Definitely gave us a little segue for things to come. But this was worse than the last, in my opinion. Terrible. Terrible.
I'm gonna go ahead and talk here. I think I've already said I hated the art. Like, you know, I like the scantily clad women. The problem is the art was horrible, so that didn't really help with the scantily clad women. You know,
right?
If maybe Ivan Rice had drawn this, then it would have been a little bit better. But with the whole, you know, the art just really took me out of the story. You know, the story wasn't horrible, you know, but it wasn't that good, and the art was terrible. So when you put those two together, that gets you a C. Maybe a C minus, you know. It's getting down to a D there, but...
Yeah. Who was that? Will, you got his name.
Yeah, it's Daniel Acuna. He does the Eternals book, and he also did the I think it's Sam and the Freedom Fighters. Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters. One of those books.
Yeah. You know, and I like his work on Eternals, but what the hell was this?
I think it might be the colorist. They got like some weird like inking colors or something. Because it was that this.
I think you sum it up perfectly right there, Kuhan.
It makes me speechless in a good way.
Will, how would you like to add to the insults?
Well, I actually kind of like this art. I like the art. I really liked it. It was very nice. Sequentially, it might have some problems because he's kind of had some problems there, but... I really like the art. It's very nice. I'm a big fan of Daniel's art. It looks very, it's kind of photorealistic, but not overly so. It's kind of actually a little cartoonish. But the colors are very vibrant. I really like the style that he uses. And I also like the way he uses the glows for the Star Sapphire and for Hal. And the constructs look pretty cool.
I like that.
What I like? Yeah, that was cool. What I also liked about this arc was it was the start of the Sinestro Corps War, not the war, but the Sinestro, the Tales of Sinestro Corps. And,
right.
Yeah, those are really cool. We see one of Despotalis, who's the little virus lantern, yellow lantern, that was pretty cool. And we see one of Bedovian is the, yeah, he's the sniper, Yellow Lantern, who's really cool. I really enjoy that aspect of the, what we're going to talk in the future of, is the special, what was it?
Ben Skybar. We'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah, but yeah, he was really cool in that one. And also, there's one more person I'm missing here.
Carousel. Carousel.
Yeah, Carousel. Yeah, she has the pet monsters which she lost when she was a kid. Those are really, like, the backups were really good. That's probably
the introduction of Lissa Drack, who was the keeper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alyssa Drack was. That's the only thing I'm going to say about this story arc is we had to thank God for the Tales of Sinestro Four backups.
I thought it was cool. I mean, I wasn't overly disappointed with them because they actually move forward the Star Sapphire stuff, which we're also just now seeing another arc from in the GL course. But I can see why you guys didn't like it though. I can respect that. It wasn't great, but it was still. I thought it was kind of fun. I personally would give it C plus or B minus around that type of grade. But I can respect you guys' opinions on that one.
Well, yeah, I think that's the best way to sum about it. I mean, it had its works. I mean, the Tales of the Sinestro Corps were probably the best done. I mean, everything from Lissa Drack to find out what happened to Sorbus.
It gave us more sad women.
Yeah. I have to say, despite that, you know, Cowgirl can't keep a plane going. I mean, she looks great as a Star Sapphire. I won't argue there.
Yeah, I almost forgot about Cowgirl. She did have a lot of FaceTime in this arc, and I grew to like her in this arc. She was a very likable character.
Oh yeah, I agree. All right, well, guys, here we are—the wonderful, the only, the Sinestro Corps War.
Oh, thank God.
Wow, well, best way to sum this up, Sinestro has created his own core, and he's just intends to spread, you know, fear through the universe. He's killing, you know, Green Lantern Corps members left and right because, you know, his core can kill and the Green Lanterns can't. And it gets revealed that his guardian is none other than the Anti-Monitor. Drop your jaw now, moments. They don't intend to destroy Oa, but destroy Earth and pretty much destroy the multiverse because, you know, as it was revealed in 52, New Earth is the centerpiece, and if you destroy New Earth, you destroy all 52 universes, and only the anti-universe is created. So, I mean, we see huge amounts with Kyle Rayner being turned into the new Parallax, which, honestly, I think when Van Skeever did that, wow, that was just a page. And, Superboy Prime being one of the, you know, sentinels of the Anti-Monitor, and of course, you know, Superman, you know, Cyborg Superman and his Manhunters. The Manhunters get the new Yellow Lantern upgrade, so then they're following the Sinestro Corps members, and I mean, these guys are just kicking ass left and right, the entire story. Like, I mean, it crosses over into Green Lantern Corps and Blue Beetle, which I'm not going to go there right now, and it just leads to an incredible freaking battle between Sinestro, Kyle Rayner, and Hal Jordan on the streets of Coast City, where, you know, it's just gigantic brawl, all the superheroes pretty much just trying to beat back the Anti-Monitor and the Sinestro Corps. And in the end, the Green Lantern rings are changed. They can now kill as one of the first of 10 new laws. Gantlet and Zed are kicked off and create their own new corps, the Blue Lantern Corps. The War of Light is revealed, which is going to have 7 cores, all of the different emotional spectrum, at war with each other. Then the Blackest Night is going to descend upon it and basically say, you know, our time is over, and wipe it all out. And the Anti-Monitor, who is defeated in the end by technically the Guardians of the Universe and Superboy Prime, who betrays him, is turned into the host for the Black Lanterns. And that's really it, folks, and I'm going to go this from both the whole story arc, including, you know, Green Lantern Corps, which we'll cover next month, but I'm going to give this an A+. I mean, it was a freaking great storyline. We had almost half a year set up with it. Jaw-dropping moments, incredible shockers, death of longtime Green Lanterns that were rescued not even a few issues ago, like Kihan and Jack T. Chance, and the revelation that Anti-Monitor was behind everything of the Sinestro Corps, and in the end, the Green Lantern Corps wins the battle for Earth, but in the end, Sinestro wins the war. And Coast City is rebuilt. It becomes a city without fear. And really, I have nothing more to say. This was just an extremely kick-ass story arc. And my, you know, applause go to Jeff Johns, you know, Peter Thomsey, Patrick Gleason, everybody, Ethan Van Sciver, you know, everyone who did this entire story arc, which was just effing incredible. And, you know, set up the War of Light perfectly and, you know, made me want to come back for more. Kuhan, I know you want to go first, so, you know, go right ahead.
All right, well, see, in my school, we give they give an H, which is a 5.0, rather than a 4.0, which is an A. So I'm going to go ahead and this is a 5.0, an H. this storyline was obviously amazing. Amazing. yes. It was, you know, again, like the first issue was with Kyle Rayner becoming Parallax. That was creepy. And, like, with Jessica Tillies, who, like, and, like, infected Kyle's mother, and he's like,
yeah.
And Sinestro just totally breaking down Kyle Rayner. It just, you know, yeah. And then, you know, the entire, like, when later on, we're talking, in, like, with, Kilowog versus Arkillo. That battle was amazing. You know,
the battleship on him.
I don't know. You know, it's hard to speak about this because there's so much I want to talk about and so little time.
I know, because I mean we're kind of coming towards the end of the cast.
I love the callbacks from like the special to issue 25. Like when Kyle becomes Parallax, he says cool. He's like cool. And then when he gets his Green Lantern power back, he's like cool. And you know, it's like you know, that's not much of a callback, but it is definitely. And they had plenty of parallels going on between the issues. And I can't say enough about it. You know, and but the thing is. The first thing, before I read it, I saw a couple of spoilers online, but the first thing I thought was, well, why is Superboy Prime hanging out with the Anti-Monitor? Didn't he, like, destroy his world? that really confused me, but, you know, it was kind of revealed, I think, in the Superboy Prime special that he was just gonna kill him later on, which I don't know what he was planning to do. But overall, again, amazing. There's definitely some flaws, but I like to ignore them. And once again, that's an H. That's a 5.0.
And what about you, Wes?
Easily the best Green Lantern story that I've ever read. And
yeah.
This is the person who... Let me explain. When Kyle went Parallax, that wasn't my favorite moment by far, but it added to the story, and that he really did a great job with the whole war aspect. When the Guardians allowed them to kill, you really got the sense of, oh shit, it's on now.
Exactly.
For Superman get him and take him down, it was full on war, and that was probably the best part of that story to me. Yeah, it's a lot to talk about. Every last Earth Lantern got his share of ass kicking pages, and it was beautiful. Ethan did tremendous work. I can't say anything else. This is an A+ story, definitely.
Oh yeah. And Will, how about you?
Oh man, this is so much stuff to talk about.
Well, we can condense it into two paragraphs or less if you can.
surprised about the special first special was from the basement. I wouldn't really expect that. It's the last page. errors, some paradise effect, how we also like that was cool, especially I also like seeing the bizarre getting a star in we'd like to see how there's sort of puppets that are actually special one of my favorite
Yeah,
they had a really cool fight.
DC said that, I think DiDio said, that this is the way they should be doing crossovers. So he specifically said, like, after Final Crisis, this is going to be the way that we're doing crossovers. And you can see that with New Krypton, which is also Jeff Johns. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that this is definitely how they should be doing crossovers, not, you know, releasing a new book that you have to buy every month again, adding another now $3.99 to your full list.
Right. Yeah. So everybody out there who worked on Sinestro Corps War, hats off, guys. I mean, it had to be the best Green Lantern story in years. I know we got Blackest Night coming up, but that was just great. So we'll do our tiers here. Everybody gives it a standing ovation over as a story arc, and thank you very much, Jeff. Ethan, Ivan, Patrick, everybody. Just thank you so much for the story arc. It was great. All right, moving between our favorite story likes, since Rage of the Red Lanterns isn't over, we'll cover that at a later point. We're going to talk about Alpha Lanterns and Secret Origin. And Alpha Lanterns, okay, in the aftermath of the Sinestro Corps War, the new rules of the Book of Oa have been put in, and after Laria, who was in love with Ki-Han, who was, of course, killed by the Anti-Monitor, goes, berserk, kills Amnon Sor, believe it or not, actually kills him, and loses her ring. She's judged by the Guardians of the Alpha Lanterns, who are now the new enforcers of the Green Lantern, kind of like the secret affairs of the Green Lantern Corps, and who are a combination of Green Lanterns and Manhunters, including, lanterns for heads. I'm not going to go there with the Duke at the moment. But basically, in the end, Laria loses her ability to be a Green Lantern. She's being taken home, and a Red Lantern ring comes and takes her, and she joins as a Red Lantern, which covered a couple months later. And then we move on to Secret Origin, which is pretty much Hal Jordan Year One, where we find out, him growing up, the death of his father, how he became a Green Lantern, and where he's going now as a Green Lantern. And Alpha Lanterns, I'm going to just pretty much give it a B because it was okay, but the Alpha Lanterns were pretty much set up for Final Crisis. I really kind of liked who was chosen, but it was, I think, Kuhan has called it, set up in resolution, which is our new word of the day. Secret Origin, very nicely done. I think the best part was, it really established, Hal Jordan's family and why he came to odds with all his family, including his mother, who surprisingly was like my grandmother re-envisioned in comic book form. She was exactly like, no, it's true. The setup with Atrocious for the Red Lanterns, and I think the best part, of course, was the friendship between Sinestro and Hal Jordan. because, I mean, you know, especially just after, you know, pretty much a few months after Sinestro Core War, I mean, it was a very Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi setup, considering where Sinestro went. So I'm going to give Secret Origin a B+ for a good storyline. It had its problems, but it was, you know, set up and resolution for, you know, a lot for Rage of the Red Lanterns and the War of Light and Blackest Night. And that's all I have to say on it. And West, I'm going to you.
Alpha Lanterns, they were all right. I like the concept. It really gives you a sense of the police aspect of the core. I think that resolution has come, and we can move on from that. But Secret Origin, not so much. That wasn't too good for me. Not that I'm really in love with Hal's previous origin, but this was blah. I mean, Sinestro was easily my favorite part of the story arc. That's terrible to me. It was, I have to give a shout out real quick to Andrew NDB from the Grand Four. It was him who convinced me that it was terrible from the fact that I wasn't even aware of Hal's origin until I read his comment. Jeff retconned the hell out of this story, and he really didn't make it better. I mean, the characters that changed, that's fine, but if this doesn't really improve in the near future, doesn't add to any story, then I'm going to be severely disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kuhan, what about you?
Okay, well, I'm going to start up. The Alpha Lantern storyline was, I don't see the purpose of Alpha Lantern. I think Grant Morrison called up Jeff Johns and was like, make these Alpha Lanterns. I need to use them in Final Crisis. And Jeff Dunn's like, okay. Oh, shoot, I forgot to do my Scottish accent for Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I was about to say, where's your Scottish accent?
Hey, Jeff, would you write these Alpha Lanterns in? So he wrote them in, and, like, for example, I think, I don't think Lyra was a very good choice to be a Red Lantern. It seemed more like Boudica was the one who was always pissed off. Like, Hal Jordan, I will kill you! And it seems like she would be more along the lines of the one who would become Red Lantern, but I don't know. And as for Secret Origins, I did like the story. Again, it was set up for the War of Light to, you know, set up Black Hand a bit more and set up Atrocitus and to fix all the stuff that Jeff Johns had already retconned. It's like, oh, I retconned this out. Now let's retcon it. Let's put it in with the Secret Origins. This is what happened. That's why this mess. That's why this has changed. Which really, you know, it makes sense to me. It's the kind of thing that it makes sense for someone to do. You know, there's not much to say about it. It's just a basic retelling of the origin again. If you don't like it, you know, there's like 12 of them. You know, you can read plenty of them.
Yeah, pick.
Just go, you know, go pick up New Frontier or something like that. Which I think is the best origin of Hal Jordan. But, But yeah, Alpha Lanterns, I'm going to give that a B-, and Secret Origin, going to get an A-.
All right. What about you, Will?
Well, I would admit, I didn't read a whole lot of Secret Origin, although I kind of skipped through it, and I kind of get the impression of that. I did read some of the Alpha Lantern stuff, but wasn't as enthused about that so much. I mean, it was pretty cool. I agree with Les. It was all right. And I also agree with Juan about the Alpha Lantern concept. Of course, the stuff we come up with from Morrison, but if I ask Jones to put that in there, so it would be about as jarring by the reader upon Crisis.
I mean, the Alpha Lantern stuff was okay. I didn't think it was a big deal. John's definitely got that idea from Morrison, who introduced that into his Final Crisis. Just won't be so jarring. I didn't read Secret Origins a whole lot. I just, got stuff from sifting through it. I recognize that John's just doing stuff with it, like putting in was his name Atrocious or something like that?
Yeah, Atrocious.
Yeah. So I kind of recognize that he's retconning stuff to lead to other stuff, such as with the Red Lanterns and the Blackest Night. So I can understand what he's doing with it. But if it doesn't add nothing to it, really, aside from set up his own stuff, then it's probably not worth it. But I'll give the Afro Lantern stuff, I guess I'll give it a C+. The Secret Origin stuff, I'll give it incomplete because I quite frankly haven't read the whole thing. So I'll have to get back to you guys on that one.
All right. Well, that covers everything because Rage of the Red Lanterns isn't over, and I'd rather review that as a whole, and we got Agent Orange coming, so we'll save that for a future cast here. So I'm going to close it up on the review of Green Lantern from Rebirth to Currents, which has been very good, but, it's not been a perfect road. It's had its stumbles, us being Sinestro Corps War, which we're all in unison about saying that's the great, why, Sins of the Sapphire, we'll just leave where it is. I want to talk about that thing, and I want to bring up what's coming up. Next cast, which will hopefully be in February, which will hopefully get our cut-up line there with Kuhan, will be about Green Lantern Corps from Recharge to Currents. Coming up in March, we're going to have Ron Mars, former Green Lantern writer, Kyle Rayner creator, which I know Wes is jumping up and down for, will be our guest hopefully in March. And I just talked recently with Moose, former colorist of Green Lantern and Flash, and he has agreed to join us in April to talk a little about the industry and Green Lantern as a whole.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. I want to give a special thanks for the Green Lantern Corps Forum for their support of the podcast. Thanks to Maverick GL that we like to argue with constantly on the boards, as well as Andrew NDB, Jichuvu, who I've never allowed to pronounce correctly, and you can stone me on the boards if you want to. Rainer 2814, who unfortunately was not able to join us for the cast. He'll hopefully join us in February. Darth Enos, Mike Croft, and St. Walker for their help and support. And I'd like to thank West, Kuhan, and Will here for coming to a guy here where his girlfriend is texting him saying, where are you for dinner right now? And we'll probably be killing me slowly with her sister as I get off.
Okay. I gotta go too now.
Yes. Yeah, we're all in hot water right now. I know probably West's girlfriend's right there, and I probably wants the cake that my girlfriend made, which was good. Guys, I'd just like to say thanks so much for the first cast here, especially Will, who kind of came in last minute, and Kuhan, and we had a lot of technical problems that came through, and West, we had a little couple problems too, which came out great, but thanks a lot. Just thanks a lot for being with me the last 2 hours and making this a whole lot of fun.
We should probably give a URL for that forum. It's the greenlanterncore.com/forum. Pretty simple.
Yep.
Head over to head. Awesome discussion.
Yes. Any shout-outs you guys want to give?
Let's go West. Go first.
shout-out to West.
How about you, Will?
No, I don't know. I think pretty good. How
about your podcast? That's a pretty good
podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, I don't like to promote myself, really. feel weird.
Oh, of course not.
All right, well, I have the Avengers Assemble podcast, which is up on the website, and also it's available in the iTunes feed. Just look up Avengers Assemble on the search bar, and you should be able to download all the episodes. But thank you, guys. I'll give my hats off to you guys for making this podcast. It's really fun with you guys. And you guys are all pretty knowledgeable fellows, and you know your stuff. So thanks for having me on, Ryan, Ryan West, and Kuhan. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome, sir. And what about you, Kuhan, Mr. URL expert?
sorry, I blinked out there.
That's okay.
you can hear me on the podcast, which is kind of on a hiatus right now, but we're coming back. You can go to podcast.wordpress.com, or you can just search up Parcast, one word, Parcast. And that's really all. I did like a couple episodes of like an anime podcast, but that was like two episodes. It's not much. So that's it.
All right, and I'll give a shout-out, of course, to my blog, the Green Lantern Spotlight, which you can find at greenlanternspotlight.blogger.com, which is a little easy URL. I just recently did talk about the upcoming action figures for Blackest Night. I will have the review coming up for Rage of the Red Lanterns later this week, and in February will be Star Sapphire Month, which, you know, despite our review of the storyline, is really cool to cover. And in March, we will move into Orange Lantern Month, and April will be Flash Month, which I know Wes is looking forward to. So I'd like to thank everybody here at the Green Lantern Spotlight and these wonderful fellows, and keep reading, and we will see you on the next. And good night, everyone. Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, and all characters in these titles are copyrighted and owned solely by DC Comics. Views expressed by guests of the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast belong to our guests and not the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to tune in next month.